Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
Well, I'm not crazy.
I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell? No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
it's
are.
Mike
I'm Shope not. Yes, you
and
are.
The Bulldog no, on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just to clarify, while you're in hell, grab me a juice box from hell. I'd like that. I'd like you to bring me a juice box from hell.
Juice box from hell.
Well, write it down. I could end up using it. Fantasy team name season.
Album name, maybe. I don't know.
Juice boxes from hell.
Juice box from hell.
I don't know. Is that of any interest to our guest, Greg Wyshynski, who hosts a food-related podcast? It may be my favorite podcast name of all podcasts in the world, Mise en Pod. I should have asked you to say it, Greg. I mean, it's yours.
Isn't that brilliant? So we do it every month about different food TV shows. And then when Top Chef starts, my God, it's like every week because Top Chef is my favorite show of all time. And it's like sports. So, yeah, it's great. But if you want to listen to it, it's on the Puck Soup Patreon, the hockey podcast I used to host until Mickey Mouse said I couldn't host it anymore.
Right. This is also one of my favorite shows. And they're in Wisconsin, Bulldog, this season. Top Chef Wisconsin, which may not right away, I don't know. I don't know your reaction. May not right away be like,
cheese. Everything's going to have cheese in it or on it or around it.
Beer,
cheese adjacent.
Yes,
recipes.
Well, that's one of the bummers of the season so far is they did a cheese challenge already. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, my God, the amount of different ways you could present cheese on a cooking competition show. And as you could probably attest if you've seen the episode, like 75% of the people made croquettes.
That's right.
No queso dipping sauce, no quesadillas hardly, croquettes.
Very safe. Well, Greg, you've been good enough to join us so many times. There have been plenty of those times in recent Sabres history where I'd be fine just spending the whole time on Top Chef. I mean, that'd be cool. Not today, though. Lindy Ruff is really back. You follow the whole league closely, of course. But I don't want to say it wrong, especially the Devils. I don't know. There's like the Devils have or a special, I don't know, category or something for you. Would love to hear you on what you think the Sabres did here with that perspective you bring from having closely followed his time with the Devils.
You're dancing around the fact that I'm a Devils fan.
I didn't want to say it.
24. No, it's okay to say it. Everybody's okay. Back when I started this nonsense back in 2008, you couldn't say you were a fan. Now, like, you know, Stephen A. shows up in, like, you know, jerseys on the air and stuff. It's all right. We can all say we're fans now.
Fine.
So here's my take on it. Because two things. Obviously, when you have to spend as much time and energy as Kevin Adams had to spend dismissing the idea that this is either a nostalgia hire or a hockey nepotism hire because he coached under Ruff for 2 years, that's never a great launching point. Like, you want to launch with this feeling of positive momentum and fresh new start and the whole thing. And so all of a sudden you're spending as much energy explaining the nuances of the hire as you are extolling the virtues of the guy you hired. The second thing is, and I say this as somebody who saw a lot of Devils hockey with Ruff as the head coach, I think that he did a very good job with some of the young players in this roster. Jack Hughes is on the record as saying that Lindy made him a better player and made him a better defensive player and a better all-around player. And I think that you can't ignore when one of the best players on the planet says that this guy did good by me, that, you know, having him there for the younger players can only be a good thing. Problem being is that I thought the previous guy was supposed to be there for the younger players. I thought the next guy was supposed to be the guy who elevates the team to, like, playoff contention. And if we're talking about that, Lindy Ruff did it 1 year. He did it with Andrew Brunette on his bench, who's now the head coach in Nashville. The Devils improved by, like, 40-some-odd points. And then the minute Brunette left, they descended in the standings by the same number of points. So, again, there's a lot to say about Lindy going to Buffalo. On the whole, I like him. He's a good guy. I'm not entirely convinced that he's the guy I would have hired here.
You know, this is going to be a hard thought for me to get out. I said it once earlier today, and I think it made sense. I haven't gotten any feedback that indicates that it didn't. And it's a little tangled, but I feel like the point about the hire being nostalgic, and, you know, the Sabres certainly can use all the help they can get selling tickets, Greg. Like, no one is unaware of that. I feel like them going ahead and doing it anyway and knowing that they were going to have to fend that off, and like you're saying, it's not optimal to have to lead with, hey, we didn't do this just because he has a house here and, you know, was beloved when he got fired in 2013.
Yeah.
But to me, it indicates maybe a belief in him being the right guy for this, because it would have been maybe easier to take someone else and not have to deal with that. If they hired Craig Berube in his Stanley Cup ring, I think fans are excited by that. That's credibility. That's a tough guy that's going to hold players accountable and all the stuff that Adam said last week when he fired Don Granato. But it wouldn't have come with this, you know, this boxcar of nostalgia that doesn't look great on them. I think them doing it despite that is maybe a positive sign. How'd I do?
I kind of understand what you're saying, is that, like, they took the road less traveled by hiring somebody that they knew was going to be fraught with a lot of questions about why he's being hired.
Yeah.
Including one you didn't ask, which is Terry Pegula hiring the last guy that was able to get this team to the playoffs?
Right. Did he just tell Kevin Adams, look, do whatever process you want to do, but that's the guy, I want you to hire that guy.
Yeah. Give me that 2010 feeling again, right? Like, it could be as easy as that. Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you that, like, you know, there was a lot of that they knew was going to be waylaid at them with this hire, and maybe they deserve some kudos for believing in what they believe and going ahead with it anyway. But I also think at the end of the day, like you said, there's going to be a good percentage of the fans that are just happy to see this guy back. Like, you know, right, as much as there are people that are going to be skeptical about why it happened and skeptical as to whether or not this guy's the right man for the job, there are definitely going to be fans that are thinking, you know, conference final year one, Stanley Cup final year two, you know, back in the day, that are like, hey, I'm happy to see this guy behind the bench again.
Right. 98.99 with Greg Wyshynski here from ESPN. I'm a little bit one of those people. I've found my feelings about this kind of interesting, because I am somebody who wants to almost out of hand, Greg, eliminate any candidate for any opening that has any connection to Buffalo. Because, right, like, just can we not? We don't have a championship over here, okay? So can we not? But I respect Ruff. I think the logic here, his strengths, maybe, what Jersey was last year at least, fitting in with this roster, I feel like, you know, could be fine. I also don't know, frankly, and this is going to sound bad, how important it is who my which of these coaches I go with. Like, it's just so hard for me to understand that in a league where they're, you know, hired and fired so fast and move around all the time, and you've got this list of guys who've coached, you know, many playoff games kind of sitting off to the side. I don't want to ask Greg Wyshynski if this is an important move, because, of course, it has to be called an important move. I just kind of want to hear you talk about maybe, Greg, what rides on this? You know, how much is this choice going to affect what happens to this team in the next couple of years?
So, the short form, do I think coaches have an impact in the NHL?
Yes, right? You do.
I do. I definitely do. I think a really good coach can make for a really good hockey team. I think there are certain guys, but I think the two things that you have to bring up when it comes to that are the fit, and then another thing I'll mention in a second. The fit is important. Peter Laviolette goes from coaching a non-starter Capitals team to the New York Rangers, and then they win the President's Trophy, and it's not a coincidence. Like, it was all there for him. He just had to unlock a lot of it, figure out where the pieces fit in the lineup, and then go from there. And then, you know, the special teams get even better than they were, and along away they go. Like, John Cooper made the Lightning great. You know, Paul Maurice was the right guy for the job in Florida. Like, the list goes on and on, where if it's the right fit between coach and team, the coach can definitely have an influence and an impact. But the other thing about it, and this is important for Lindy, if you are in the class of, like, who cares about coaches, is that the New Jersey Devils also dropped 40-plus points in the standings because their goaltending went from 10th in the league to 31st. I mean, like, and again, you know, for the coaching skeptics in hockey, it's go and look whoever wins the Jack Adams each year. I guarantee you their goalie is probably in the top five in the league for the save percentage.
I remember.
Right? So a lot of that rests on that.
Right. Yeah, around the time Lindy won the Jack Adams Award here, probably not that particular year, but I'm like, it's the PDO champ. It's the PDO award. Whoever's got the best shooting percentage and save percentage did the best coaching job, which I guess...
But not only that, but like he's in that job for how many years? What was it, 15 seasons?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Look what he has for 15 seasons. Dominik Hasek and Ryan Miller. My God, that's gonna keep you in a job for a good portion of your career. If you have Dominik Hasek and Ryan Miller as your goalies.
Seems right. Do they have a goalie now? He was asked about goaltending jokingly by our Paul Hamilton today. He's like, UPL. We've talked about this before, but he had a good season, Greg. I mean, how predictive is that going to be for him going forward? Or what would you say?
I thought his season was solid. I've always liked him a little bit as a goalie, but you know, I don't know if they have a goalie now. I don't know if the tandem they'll roll with next season is good enough. I think Devin Levi's got all the talent in the world, and he might be the guy at some point. He clearly was, I mean, for lack of a better comparison, he got a little Zach Wilson this year, being thrown into the fray.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he'll be traded to Denver anytime soon, but that's the comparison. So I don't know what they have right now, and that's not a really great place to be with a Lindy Ruff team, for being honest, because he does like to play up tempo, and sometimes when you play up tempo, then you need someone to take care of the back end for you. But the potential is there for it to be better than it was this year. We'll leave it at that.
You are a Jets fan. See, that I would have had no hesitation in pointing out, because it's a different sport.
Because you don't cover football for a living.
Yeah. I've learned today. I got it. But
how about the roster, Greg? Like, I've said a few times here, I think with a different coach this year, even, I mean, they had a talented team here. I think they still do have a talent. There's a lot of talent on this team, and the goaltending definitely stabilized. They could have had a year here. I mean, they got saves, and to miss out again and not even be that close. I'm watching Washington just, what in the world? They're terrible, and they're in the playoffs. How talented a group is this? Like, should they go into next year, assuming they get Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen signed to a contract extension? He might have them over a barrel right now in that regard. Luukkonen might, but is this a playoff looking roster? Like the top end of it?
Yeah, I think it is. And Washington's an interesting example because that's a team that went in a different direction for their head coach and hired a younger guy, Spencer Carberry, who, you know, was really important for them getting their younger players going this season on that roster along with the veteran core, but also a team that made the playoffs solely because they had a hot goalie in Charlie Lindgren. So it's like both sides of the coin we've been talking about here.
Yeah.
But the way I've always seen it with Buffalo is this. Like, Buffalo is in that schmoz of teams in the Atlantic Division with the Red Wings and Ottawa and maybe soon Montreal. And when you take apart these teams and really look at what they are, I wouldn't trade Buffalo's roster for any of them. I think Buffalo's got the most high-end elite talent on this roster. They've got two defensemen that you can build around. They've got a bunch of good young players on this team and only getting better. I think Buffalo is, and it's the reason why people picked them to make the playoffs this year. Like, they're primed to do it. They just have to kind of get their act in order, find a little bit of better defensive structure, which, by the way, I think they had a little bit better of it in the final months of Donny Granato's, you know, tenure there. And then most importantly, find some dependable goaltending, either internally or externally. And you know, there's no reason why this team can't be a wild card team next year based on everything else that we've seen in the Eastern Conference.
Greg, I just want to tell you, your coverage of the NHL is a great tribute to ESPN. We've always talked about ESPN's sort of interest in the NHL when it was there and then it wasn't. And, you know, here we are, the playoffs are happening. It's been a couple years now. And I think the coverage is really good. I'm a huge Emily Kaplan fan, by the way, too. She asks such good questions, like these concise, no wasted movement. So I just wanted to tell you that. For all the times you've been on our show, I'm not sure I've ever said this. But
I appreciate that. You know, Emily and I came to ESPN at the same time. We had a podcast together for a couple of years. And I think we both came to the job with the same task, which was, you know, let's stop writing so many stories that just quote the GM and try to, like, approach this thing in a more fun, different, personality-driven way. And I think, you know, I'm proud of the work that both of us did before we got the rights and kind of laying the groundwork for the type of coverage that we wanted to see. And it resonated. And now that, you know, we've got the rights, like, she's obviously doing amazing work on television. I've gotten more opportunities to do stuff digitally and with the right and stuff. And it's been really cool to see, like, the trail we blazed a little bit in the tone of coverage kind of resonating in different parts of how we cover stuff. So that's really kind of good to say.
Playoffs underway here, and I echo what Mike said, Greg. Been a big fan for years, and we, of course, are grateful for all the many hours you've put in with us over the years on our show here. Playoffs, the big news today, I guess, is the Demko injury. Like, that could be really bad for Vancouver. There's not – what is it, Casey DeSmith back there?
Yeah. Yeah, which is funny because the last time we saw Casey DeSmith in the playoffs, it was that crazy Pittsburgh Rangers game one in 2022, where remember that he got hurt in double overtime?
Right, and pork and broccoli, right?
The pork and broccoli guy, right. That's the last time Casey DeSmith was in the playoffs. But no, Demko is – see, the thing about Vancouver that I've been saying for months is that one of the reasons why they won that division is because they were blessed until Demko got hurt in March with incredible good health. Pettersson healthy, Besser healthy for the first time in his career, Quinn Hughes healthy, JT Miller healthy, Demko healthy for most of the season, long enough for them to establish a lead in that division. Then he gets hurt in March, and now he gets hurt again. And so that Vancouver team, to me, does not have the depth, whether it's positionally or in goal, to sustain themselves through injuries. And you're right, this Demko thing is a serious changer. I mean, I picked Nashville to win regardless. I thought they could maybe steal a game in Vancouver, take it back to Nashville and you know, really do some damage there just because of how hot they were down the stretch. But, you know, winning this series with Casey DeSmith in goal is a very daunting task for this Vancouver team that's been so reliant. I mean, they went from like 26th in the league defensively to like, I think in the top eight maybe this year. And a lot of that is based on Rick Tocchet, their coach, but a lot of that is mostly based on how well Demko played.
Be a pretty big thud if Vancouver were to go out in the first round to Nashville after the year they had, but certainly possible. Anything is in the NHL playoffs. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Thank you, Greg.
Yep, anytime.
We will look for your calls after the update. Lindy Ruff is back. I wasn't sure until the press conference. I wanted to make – I needed more proof after yesterday. Okay. This is – Bulldog is probably right. Reporting
thank you.
Lindy Ruff returning to the Sabres. But the press conference, I think, clinches it. Are you on board? Lines are open. We are happy to take calls and talk NFL draft as well. It's one of those really cool weeks where we've got the draft already is such a big topic, and then the Sabres doing this just adds to the excitement here. Lines are open, 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.